Welcome to the PC Speaking Podcast series, Through the Bible in a Year, where we come together for daily reading and reflection as we journey through the scriptures. Let's dive into today's episode with Pastor Chris Miller. January, faithful in the storm.
We're the end, the empty spaces. Welcome to day number 121 of our Through the Bible in a Year reading program. Today we are reading from the book of Judges, chapters 10 and 11. In the New Testament, we'll be in Luke chapter 21. We'll begin with a bit of an overview. Judges chapter 10 describes the Israelites' return to idolatry, that old cycle after a period of peace that followed Gideon's judgeship. Leads to oppression by the Philistines and the Ammonites. And despite their suffering, God initially refuses to deliver them. However, moved by their distress and their disposal of foreign God, God delivers them once more. Judges 11 narrates the story of Jephthah, a Gileadite, whom his brothers drive away because he's the son of a prostitute. Jephthah becomes a mighty warrior. And when the Ammonites threaten Israel, the elders of Gilead ask Jephthah to lead them. The chapter ends with a very difficult story. I was just talking with someone about this earlier today. Jephthah makes a vow to the Lord for victory, which tragically leads to his fulfilling a vow to sacrifice his only daughter in return for his divine assistance in battle. Difficult passage to sort out, that one. Luke chapter 21 features Jesus teaching in the temple, warning about the temple's destruction, the end times, the importance of vigilance. Jesus observes the poor widow's offering and commends her for giving all that she had, contrasting her genuine devotion with the superficial piety of some other people. The chapter concludes with Jesus urging vigilance and prayerfulness as his followers wait for his return. Let's go to our reading. Judges chapter 10, verse 1. After Abimelech, Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar, arose to save Israel. He lived in Shamir in the hill country of Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years and died and was buried in Shamir. After him, Jair, the Gileadite, arose. He judged Israel 22 years. He had 30 sons who rode on 30 donkey colts. They had 30 cities, which are called Haboth-Jair to this day, which are in the land of Gilead. Jair died and was buried in Canaan. The children of Israel again did that which was evil in the Lord's sight and served the Baals, the Ashtaroth, the gods of Syria, the gods of Sidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the children of Ammon, and the gods of the Philistines. They abandoned the Lord and didn't serve him. The Lord's anger burnt against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of the Philistines and into the hand of the children of Ammon. They troubled and oppressed the children of Israel that year. For 18 years they oppressed all the children of Israel that were beyond the Jordan in the land of the Amorites, which is in Gilead. The children of Ammon passed over the Jordan to fight against Judah and against Benjamin and against the house of Ephraim, so that Israel was very distressed. The children of Israel cried to the Lord, saying, "We have sinned against you because we have forsaken our God and have served the Baals." The Lord said to the children of Israel, "Didn't I save you from the Egyptians and from the Amorites, from the children of Ammon, and from the Philistines, the Sidonians also, and the Amalekites, and the Maonites oppressed you, and you cried to me, and I saved you out of their land. Yet you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore, I will save you no more. Go and cry to the gods which you have chosen. Let them save you in the time of your distress." The children of Israel said to the Lord, "We have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you. Only deliver us, please, today." They put away the foreign gods from amongst them and served the Lord, and his soul was grieved for the misery of Israel. Then the children of Ammon were gathered together and encamped in Gilead. The children of Israel assembled themselves together and encamped at Mizpah. The people, the princes of Gilead, and to one another, "Who is the man?" said to one another, "Who is the man who will begin to fight against the children of Ammon? He shall be head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Chapter 11. Now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. He was the son of a prostitute. Gilead became the father of Jephthah. Gilead's wife bore him sons. When his sons grew up, they drove Jephthah out and said to him, "You will not inherit in her father's house, for you are the son of another woman." Then Jephthah fled from his brothers and lived in the land of Tob. Outlaws joined up with Jephthah, and they went out with him. After a while, the children of Ammon made war against Israel. When the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to get Jephthah out of the land of Tob. They said to Jephthah, "Come and be our chief, that we may fight with the children of Ammon." Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "Didn't you hate me and drive me out of my father's house? Why have you come to me now when you are in distress?" The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "Therefore we have turned again to you now, that you may go with us and fight with the children of Ammon. You will be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." Jephthah said to the elders of Gilead, "If you bring me home again to fight with the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivers them before me, will I be your head?" The elders of Gilead said to Jephthah, "The Lord will be witness between us. Surely we will do what you say." Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead. The people made him head and chief over them. Jephthah spoke all these words before the Lord in Mizpah. Jephthah sent messengers to the king of the children of Ammon, saying, "What do you have to do with me that you have come to me to fight against my land?" The king of the children of Ammon answered the messengers of Jephthah, "Because Israel took away my hand when he came up out of Egypt, from the Arnon ever to Jabbok and to the Jordan. Now therefore, restore that territory again peaceably." Jephthah sent messengers again to the children of Ammon. And he said to him, "Jephthah says, Israel didn't take away the land of Moab, nor the land of the children of Ammon. But when they came up from Egypt, and Israel went through the wilderness to the Red Sea and came to Kadesh, then Israel sent messengers to the king of Edom, saying, 'Please let me pass through your land.' But the king of Edom didn't listen. In the same way, he sent to the king of Moab, but he refused. So Israel stayed in Kadesh. Then they went through the wilderness and went around the land of Edom and the land of Moab, and they came by the east side of the land of Moab, and they encamped on the other side of Arnon. But they didn't come within the border of Moab, for the Arnon was the border of Moab. Israel sent messengers to Sihon, king of the Amorites, the king of Heshbon. And Israel said to him, 'Please let us pass through your land to my place.' But Sihon didn't trust Israel to pass through his border. But Sihon gathered all his people together and encamped in Jahaz and fought against Israel. The Lord, the God of Israel, delivered Sihon and all his people into the hand of Israel, and they struck them. So Israel possessed all the land of the Amorites, the inhabitants of that country. They possessed all the border of the Amorites from the Arnon, even to the Jabbok, and from the wilderness, even to the Jordan. So now the Lord, the God of Israel, has dispossessed the Amorites from before his people Israel. And who should possess them? Won't you possess that which Chemosh, your God, gives you to possess? So whoever the Lord our God has dispossessed from before us, them will we possess. Now, are you anything better than Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab? Did he ever strive against Israel, or did he ever fight against them? Israel lived in Heshbon and its towns, and in Aroer and its towns, and all the cities that are along the side of the Arnon for 300 years. Why didn't you recover them within that time? Therefore, I have not sinned against you, but you do me wrong to war against me. May the Lord, the judge, be judged today between the children of Israel and the children of Ammon." However, the king of the children of Ammon didn't listen to the words of Jephthah, which he sent him. Then the Lord's spirit came on Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead. And from Mizpah of Gilead, he passed over the children of Ammon. Jephthah vowed a vow to the Lord and said, "If you will indeed deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatever comes out of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, it shall be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." So Jephthah passed over to the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hand. He struck them from Aroer until you come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and to Abetzarim, with a very great slaughter. So the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. Jephthah came to Mizpah, to his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with tambourines and with dances. She was his only child. Besides her, he had neither son nor daughter. When he saw her, he tore his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, you have brought me very low, and you are one of those who trouble me, for I have opened my mouth to the Lord, and I can't go back." She said to him, "My father, you have opened your mouth to the Lord. Do to me according to that which has proceeded out of your mouth, because the Lord has taken vengeance for you on your enemies, even on the children of Ammon." Then she said to her father, "Let this thing be done for me. Leave me alone 2 months that I may depart and go down on the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my companions." He said, "Go." He sent her away for 2 months, and she departed. she and her companions and mourned her virginity on the mountains. At the end of 2 months, she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed. She was a virgin. It became a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to celebrate the daughter of Jephthah, the Gileadite, 4 days in a year. Over to the New Testament, Luke chapter 21. He looked up and saw the rich people who were putting their gifts into the treasury. He saw a certain poor widow casting in 2 small brass coins. He said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for all these put in gifts for God from their abundance, but she out of her poverty, but in all that she had to live on." As some were talking about the temple and how it was decorated with beautiful stones and gifts, he said, "As for these things which you see, the days will come in which there will be not be left here one stone on another that will not be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, so when will we see these things? What is the sign that these things are about to happen?" He said, "Watch out that you don't get led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Therefore, don't follow them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, don't be terrified, for these things must happen first, but the end won't come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and plagues in various places. There will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you up to synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will turn out as a testimony for you. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom with all your adversaries and will not be able to withstand or to contradict. You will be handed over even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. They will cause some of you to be put to death. You will be hated by all men for my name's sake, and not a hair of your head will perish. But by your endurance, you will win your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is at hand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the middle of her depart. Let those who are in the country not enter therein. For these are days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who nurse infants in those days. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath to his people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations. Jerusalem will be trampled down to the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth anxiety of nations and perplexity for the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting for fear and for expectation of the things which are coming in the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near." He told them a parable. "See the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see it and know by your own selves that the summer is already near. Even so, you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Most certainly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all things are accomplished. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. So be careful, or your hearts will be loaded down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day will come on you suddenly, for it will come like a snare on all those who dwell on the surface of all the earth. Therefore, be watchful all the time, praying that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will happen and to stand before the Son of Man." Every day Jesus was teaching in the temple, and every night he would go out and spend the night on the mountain that is called Olivet. All the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him. Well, that's our reading for today. Let's wrap up with a few thoughts and reflections. excuse me. Reflect on the cycles of sin and repentance in your own life. You know, Israel had a real problem with that, and as I suppose we all do to varying degrees. They'd serve other gods, they would sin, and then they'd, you know, be oppressed by the nations surrounding them. They would repent, cry out to God, and he would deliver them. Think of that kind of cycle in your own life and make short lists of ways you can break these cycles by cultivating a consistent, genuine relationship with God. Excuse me. I think my voice is about done reading for today. Consider the vows. or commitments you make to God and others, how can you ensure they are thoughtful, responsible, and aligned with God's will? How do Jesus' teaching on the end times affect your daily life and priorities? Are you living in a way that reflects readiness for his return? And if you'd like to continue on with your study today and take things a little further, investigate the spiritual disciplines of the spiritual discipline of vigilance. How can practices like prayer, reading scripture, and community fellowship prepare you for the uncertainties of the future? Well, that's our reading for today, and I look forward to speaking with you again tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on the PC Speaking Podcast. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Through the Bible in a Year. If you have found this helpful, please follow the podcast and share it with a friend. It is our hope and prayer that every episode helps enrich your relationship with God and His Word. Even if the drums stop beating, my soul